You're listening to audio from Cornerstone Covenant Church in Big Spring, Texas. Thank you so much for joining us online. To find more resources or to donate to this amazing ministry, please visit us at cccbigspring.org or text your amount to 84321. Hey, we're so glad that you're here. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God. Well, good morning, church. We're excited that you are here, and we're thankful that you chose to be here. See, there's a lot of places you could be, a lot of things you could be doing on this Sunday morning, and I want you to know we're honored that that you chose to be here at Cornerstone Covenant Church. So we love you, and we thank you for being here today. My name is Pastor Corey. I'll be bringing the word to you today, and I'm excited. I feel like the Lord gave me this word, and it's been burning in me, and so I'm excited to get it out today. But before we get there, first things first, I always want to make sure we acknowledge and that I give honor in this house to our senior pastors, Pastor Willard and First Lady. They are incredible covering. They do an amazing job here as our leaders, and so can we just put our hands together for them one time? We honor them, and we thank them. And then I want to make sure and give honor to my executive pastor, Brandon, who does an incredible job, an amazing job. So thank you. I honor you, sir. Actually, for those that don't know that weren't a part, well, if you don't know at all, Misha that did the announcements is my wife. And Brandon actually is the minister that married us. And so he's had a lot of influence in our life. And so once again, I'm just thankful for you and we love you. So you and Cassie. And then, last but not least, my wife, Misha. She's just my inspiration. She's my best friend. She's my strongest critic, especially when I'm driving, but that's okay. I just love my wife so much. She brings so much to the table as a friend, as a wife, and as a leader, and so I just want to honor her this morning. So I love you, Misha. Love you, baby. Okay. Okay, so now I'm done being sappy. If you would, it's our custom here that we stand for the reading of God's word. If you would, please stand to your feet. We're going to turn to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 12, verse 9. If you have a baby or some sort of physical ailment, please take the liberty to remain seated. 2 Corinthians, chapter 12, verse 9. I hear pages turning. Amen. Hallelujah. If you're there, say amen. And it says this here. It says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Somebody say, his grace. Amen. Amen. And now say, it's sufficient for me. And it goes on to say, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness so that Christ's power may rest on me. Amen. Father, we thank you this morning for your word that is alive, that is breathing. Father, we thank you as we dive into this moment of spending this intentional, intimate time with you, Father, that your word is going to speak directly to our hearts, Father. I pray that you hide me behind the cross, God. Move me out of the way and speak through me as a mouthpiece directly to the hearts of your people, God. We submit this service to you. Holy Spirit, have your way. In Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said, you can be seated. Okay, so I have a question. Has anybody's eyes ever been bigger than their stomach? It happens, right? I want to tell you guys just a quick story, and I want to set it up just for a minute. But Misha and I recently took a trip, and we had some friends that invited us out to the lake. And so we went, kind of hung out there. Misha had really never done the lake experience before, and so she got to experience some new things, and that was really fun. And as we were out there hanging out, they decided they wanted to take us to dinner. And so, you know, of course, I didn't fight them. I was like, sure. So I want to give kind of a little bit of location. I want to see who knows where this place is. So the lake that we went to in Eastland, Texas, it's called Lake Leon. So we went to this lake, but how far is it, Mish? Like, about 20 minutes east or so? I don't know, maybe a little bit further. 20 or 30 minutes east past Eastland, we pulled off into this place, and there's a restaurant there called Mary's. Anybody ever been to Mary's in that area? One, two people? We had like what, 10 in the 9 a.m.? It was a lot of people. Okay, so that's a good thing, okay? So, because I get to show you guys something. So we go to Mary's, and let me tell you something. If you're not ready for Mary's, it's going to bless your life, okay? And your nights, okay? No, we go to Mary's, and it's been a long day, so I'm pretty hungry. And me and Misha, we tend to go through this thing where sometimes we split plates and sometimes we don't. More often than not, we don't. Okay. We were hungry that day, and so we're looking through the menu and everything. We're talking to our friends. Our friends had been there a time before, but it had been a while, and so they were kind of looking through the menu and everything, too. So we're looking around trying to figure out exactly what we want to eat. And I'm the type of guy that I love chicken fried steak. Anybody else? Chicken fried steak is safe to me. Like, if I don't know, if I'm not familiar, that's my safety comfort zone. So I'm looking around, and in the menu, they have three different sizes. They have a small, a medium, and then a large, right? So as I'm looking through my choices here, maybe y'all can guess, because of this body by McDonald's, I probably went with the large. Right, yeah. So I go with the large, and I'm thinking, and I'm getting ready to show y'all something here in just a second. I go with the large. But look at this. Look at this. So, and you can leave it there for a second. So I'm expecting a large chicken fried steak. One. This is three large chicken fried steaks. I don't know if you can see that well. This is three on the plate there. And then you see we got some fries there because that was an appetizer that we thought we needed, and we did not. And then salad, really? Like, I mean, let's just say it was still there when we left. So, and then if you'll show the next one. Look at this cereal bowl of gravy. Look, I need y'all to really see, okay, I think, okay, go back to the first one. Do you see her cell phone that she's holding? I was trying to give y'all a size reference. This is enormous, enormous. And so I get this, and then I get this cereal bowl full of gravy, and that's coming out. And then I had ordered some fries because, it came with a side. And I was like, I haven't even got my fries yet. Like, what am I going to do with this? And then when that comes out, it's the same size bowl full of fries. It's probably like at least three potatoes. Anyway, I was blessed by that, okay? For 2 days after that as well. But as I began to think about this experience that we had, we were just thinking and talking, and it kind of came up this way of thinking about, it's interesting how when I looked at the plate, I felt a certain way, but we didn't realize that there was actually three different perspectives there. And see, what you can do sometimes is you can think about it as the plate can maybe represent situations in life. And so sometimes we come up on something that looks like it's a little bit more than what we can handle, right? Sometimes we get something, maybe it's something that we asked for. I sat down at that table and ordered that chicken fried steak. Maybe it's something that we asked for, but then when God gives it to us, all of a sudden it's, I don't know if I can do that, God. That's a little too much on my plate right now. That's a little bit more than what I thought it was going to be. It's a little bit bigger than maybe what I anticipated. But see, there's three perspectives there. And the first one was my own, which is just that God, man, this is a lot. I feel overwhelmed. God, I feel overwhelmed in this moment. You've put more on my plate than what I thought I could handle. But maybe it's the second, we look at the second perspective, and now we see the perspective of our friends who had gone there with us. See, because they had been there before, they had been through that before, but all of a sudden, now that they're watching somebody else go through it, it looks different to them. See, because it took them by surprise just the same way that it took us, but they had already been through that. Maybe it's the third perspective that's really kind of interesting, and the fact that the waitress was just sort of nonchalant. She knew how big it was. She was confident. She brought it out, and she wasn't surprised. She wasn't shocked. It was, she had seen it enough times. She had been through that enough times. Her confidence level was different. So of those perspectives, which one do you relate to today? Are you in a place or in a season or a situation where you feel sort of, hey, God, I'm overwhelmed. I mean, I know I asked you for this, but my plate is a little full right now. I'm looking at this, and I just don't see how I can do this by myself. Maybe you relate to the second perspective, and maybe you're in a season where you're watching someone, a friend or a family member, go through something that you've gone through before, but all of a sudden now you're hands off. Yeah, I've been through that, but that's too much for me right now. Maybe you're the third perspective, and I pray that we have a lot of people in here that have this third perspective, but maybe you've gone through enough things in your life. You've seen enough battles, and you've seen the goodness and the mercy and the grace of God pull you out of some things enough times to know that nothing takes you by surprise now. You're not shocked. You're not overwhelmed because you see the bigness of the plate, but you know the bigness of your God. Do we know the bigness of our God today? See, we serve a waymaker God. We serve a waymaker God. When it looks like it's too much, when it looks like you can't handle it, when it looks like there's so much on your plate that you can't do it, you can't lift it, you can't move it, you can't fix it with your own strength, it's because you're using the wrong strength. I mean, we just read in Corinthians that in our weakness, Christ's strength is made perfect. In our areas of lack, where we feel disqualified, where we feel like we don't measure up, that's when Jesus makes up the difference. Amen? If you would, turn with me in your Bibles. Let's go to our text for today. We're going to be in the book of Exodus. We're going to start in chapter 3. See, as we get to this text, and we're heading towards, some of you may be familiar with the story of Moses, and I'll provide a little bit of context here, but as we're going through these situations in life, and we think about what we've been through, and we think about everything that we've had to fight through, and we think about what God is asking us to do, because you might be right in the middle of your season of going through. We've got to think about the fact that we not only have a waymaker God, but we have an Exodus God. An Exodus God. And so my title for today, if you want to write it down and if you're keeping notes, my title for today is, My Been Through is My Breakthrough. My Been Through is My Breakthrough. Somebody say, My Been Through is My Breakthrough. My Been Through is My Breakthrough. Now touch five people and say breakthrough. We find ourselves in the third chapter of Exodus. It's Exodus 3, 9 through 11. And I'm going to have some different questions here that I want you to write down. My first question for this portion of the text is one of the questions we may find ourselves asking God as we go through, as we've been through, as we're going through. We may sit down and we may just ask God, why me? Why me? God, why me? There's so many other people. There's so many people that are more qualified, that have more resources, that have the experience, God, but why me? See, you know just as well as I do that God uses the least, the weakest, the unqualified, the counted out. He uses those people so that he can get the glory. Amen? So we find ourselves in the third chapter of Exodus, and we're starting in verse 9 through 11. And it says this, And now behold, the cry of the people of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. Come, I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out? See, in this text, Moses is saying two things at once. He's saying, why me? And saying, who am I? Because in that moment, he feels overwhelmed. He feels disqualified. He feels unworthy. He feels like he's not the man for the job. So he's asking God, why me? Have we ever been through a situation in life where we ask God that? In this moment, Moses is asking these things because he doesn't know who he is. And so my first point for today is know who you are. Know who you are. Know who you are. When you know who you are, you walk with a different authority. You carry yourself differently. When you know who you are, when you realize that there's all types of people in here, but it doesn't matter if you're 1 year old or if you're 99 years old, you're a son and you're a daughter of the King. A son and a daughter, you're royalty. You're chosen. You're set apart. You have favor. You are a son and a daughter of the King Almighty, the creator of the universe. When you know who you are and that's your identity, because what tends to happen is we want to wrap ourselves up in what we do. Oh, I'm a singer, or I'm a lawyer, or I'm a teacher, or you fill in the blank. No, you're a son and you're a daughter. That's where your foundation has to be. That's where your identity has to lie. You're a son and you're a daughter of the King. So my first point today, know who you are. If we skip down just a little bit, we're still in the same chapter, but now we're moving to 13, verse 13. The next question sometimes that we might find ourselves asking is, whose authority? God, you're sending me out to do this thing. You're sending me out to go accomplish this mission, or whatever that may look like to you. But on whose authority am I supposed to go and carry this out? It's God's. See, he's thinking in this moment already, okay, now my plate's full. Now I got to figure out how I'm going to tackle this by myself, how I'm going to do it in my own strength. But all you have to do is take a moment and stop and realize that if it's his will, it's his bill. And if God is sending you, he's going to give you the authority. He's going to give you the power. He's never going to leave you on your own. But you can't know that if you don't know God. We've heard it said many, many times before that there's such a difference between knowing about God and knowing God. There's such a difference between me knowing about my wife and knowing my wife. There's relationship there. There's relationship there. So we have to know who God is. And I want to take a moment and give you some biblical names of gods that I believe is going to encourage and inspire you. These are some the names of God that we find throughout the scriptures. And so the first one is Elohim, which is the first name of God that's revealed to us in the Bible, in the book of Genesis. Then Yahweh, which means I am. This is the name revealed to us in this scripture here. Verse 13 and 14, it says, then Moses said to God, if I come to the people of Israel and I say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? God says to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, say this to the people of Israel, that I am has sent you. This name Yahweh means I am, and it's so interesting how God says it, because he could have went through a lot of details. He could have said a lot of different things, but God doesn't have to explain every single detail because he is all things at all times. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, and everything that ever has been created and everything that will be created is God. So he simply gets to say, I am. I am sent you. That's the God that we serve. We have to know that. Adonai, the Lord is our master. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord is our provider. Does anybody know that song? Are y'all familiar with that? Jehovah Jireh, my provider. Right? Y'all know that song? He's our provider. We have to know that. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord is our banner, our defender, and our victor. He is our victory. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is our peace. Jehovah Rohi, the Lord is our shepherd. And El Shaddai, the Almighty. We got to know God. If we're going to be effective for the kingdom, if we're going to head out and do what God has called us and told us to do, we can't know about God. We got to know God. We got to be connected to the source. Y'all believe that today? Would you move forward with me in the word? Exodus chapter 4. Exodus chapter 4, and I'm gonna begin in verse 1. The next question that we sometimes find ourselves asking is this. It says, what if they don't believe me? Some of us might say, what if they don't believe in me? What if they don't believe? See, in the fourth chapter, it says this. It says, then Moses answered, but behold, they will not believe me or listen to my voice, for they will say, the Lord did not appear to you. The Lord said to him, what is that in your hand? Moses said, a staff. And he said, throw it on the ground. So he threw it on the ground, and it became a serpent, and Moses ran from it. So in this moment, I find this observation really neat, because as God is having this dialogue with Moses, I'm seeing him talk with him, and he's saying, and he asks him a question. He said, what is that in your hand? Does anybody in here really think God didn't know what it was? But I think sometimes God, in a loving way, he wants to humble us. He wants to remind us in the most loving way that anything that we carry on our own has no power until he touches it. See, in that moment, he told Moses, take that staff and throw it on the ground, because that's all he had. That's what he's carrying with him at the moment. And when God touched it, it turned into a serpent. That's the proof. That's how they will know that God sent you, that the I am sent you. See, we have to get outside of our own strength and think, well, I'm just going to carry what I got with me into battle, because it's not enough until the Lord puts his hands on it. I think the Lord knew what it was. I think he had to remind Moses. Nothing we have carries power until God touches it. The scripture goes on to say that the Lord said to Moses, put out your hand, catch it by the tail. And so he put out his hand and he caught it, and it became a staff again. See, I believe that when God touches it, when he gives it back to you, it's going to be something you can use. If you take that thing, that dream, that prayer, that desire, whatever that thing is that you've been holding on to and keeping tight and keeping close, give it to God and let him touch it and see what happens. Give it to God and let God touch it and see what happens. And when it comes back to you, it's going to be something powerful that you can use. Amen? When you get what you've given to God and he gives it back to you, I promise it will be something that you can use. And so my last point for today that I want to encourage you with is this, is that we have to trust God to do the impossible. We have to trust God to do the impossible. See, whatever it is that you think, that whatever situation that you're in right now that you feel like there is no end in sight, there is no light at the end of the tunnel, and there's no way that you can take this and make it that, I promise you that our Waymaker God can take this and make it that, and that, and that, and that, and that over there. See, we have a Waymaker God that's not limited to anything that we can understand or know, because he is the creator of all things. And so if he was there at the beginning, he's going to be there at the end. Amen? He sees all things at all times, and nothing takes him by surprise. And that's what I love about our Father, that sees us and knows us and sees us right in the middle of our situations. Worship team, y'all can come on. See, sometimes we feel like we got to get it right. We got to fix it first before we can present it to God. But God is saying, come to me as you are. Or let me come to you where you're at. Don't delay. Don't wait. See, a Waymaker God is not limited to anything, and especially the impossible, because it's those moments where we get to see the strength and the power of our God. Some of us may be thinking things like, man, Lord, I'm going through it right now. You know, my marriage, my wife and I, we fight, we argue all the time, every day. I don't know what else to do, God. I don't know what else to do. Maybe some of us are looking at our children and we say, God, I'm worried about my kids. I'm worried about my son. I'm worried about my daughter. They've been going through it for a long time. And when everybody around us keeps saying that it is impossible, I want to believe in my Waymaker, God, to do the possible. God, I don't know what else to do because I've been dealing with this sickness in my body. I've been taking my medicines. I've been going to my meetings. I've been doing everything that I know how to do, God, but my body is tired. I'm tired, God. God, I wake up early. I get to work early. I punch my clock and I work as hard as I know how to work. And when I get to the end of the month, for whatever reason, I still don't have anything left. I'm tired, God. I'm tired. I'm here to encourage somebody today that we serve a Waymaker, God. And your been through will be your breakthrough if you just keep believing. Trust God. Trust God to take the impossible and make it possible. Hey, we hope you enjoyed the podcast this week. And if you did, we invite you to take a moment to subscribe and follow our page. That way the word can be ready and waiting for you each and every week. Thanks again for joining us online, and we'll see you next time.